Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dollars. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How are you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. My days are numbered. I might be in the emergency room any given Wednesday in the near future.
Wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
yeah, shenanigans with the baby. She's ready to pop, hey?
Yeah, getting close. It must be around the corner.
Very, very exciting. I got nothing much going on. I'm just chilling on the couch, and it's probably what I'll be doing next Wednesday, the one after. So, so I'll be around. But yeah, that'll be very exciting. Might have to get Big Dazza back on board for a little bit of time while we get that sorted.
I love that.
Yeah, well, the show
yikes,
will go on.
Yikes.
Himself. I'm interested to hear him nod to the intro as it plays.
Yeah.
Good week?
Yeah, great week. Obviously got out to play some disc golf. Can confirm I definitely do not know how to putt. But, yeah, it was good. It was cold. And, yeah, obviously now just back into work and getting through it. What about yourself?
Yeah, same. Back at work this week after being in Sydney. And yeah, you just get back into the monotony very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? Only two more days and we got a weekend here, so that's good.
Yeah.
Did you get signed up for the eruption?
No, definitely not. not on my radar, but it looks like I'm the only one who didn't.
223, as I'm looking at it right now. I'm sure probably most all those who want to make it will make it because they said 200. And I'm sure a lot of people would just have done a speculative bid because right now it costs you nothing but a little bit of time. But, yeah, pretty exciting. I think they hit the 200 mark, like, real fast. They definitely crashed the website.
Yeah, crash your website, 38 minutes. I saw some conflicting stories. Someone else was definitely running with 48 minutes, but I'm like, how are you telling me it's been 48 minutes and it's not even 48 past 8 yet? So I feel like what you mean is 38 minutes it took to hit 200.
Well, Daniel Marks was fastest finger first, but I think he cheated. And only because I tried to cheat and it looked like an option for a second. I just had I had it up 10 minutes beforehand and did a cheeky little refresh. And there was the button that says not ready for registration, just said register. And I was like, oh, I better put in all my details. And I went to do that and then it went away. So, but I think there must have been a special little moment of which he was there. But so the real fastest finger first was our boy Reesey.
What I loved about that did this unfold in the chat that you were a part of? Someone said, who's your predictions? Were you in that group chat?
Yeah.
Yeah, and was it Parrish? Parrish is like, my prediction is Reese will be the fastest fingers first.
Big.
Yeah.
I was well on my way. I was quite a few pre-drinks deep heading to a concert with my missus, or gig with my missus. So, I saw stuff, but I wasn't seeing stuff. I don't remember the details, but I got in. It was worked out really nice. I was enlisting your help potentially because we were meant to be getting there at 8, and luckily we got there at like 10 past 8, so I could just do it in the Uber while I was having great conversation with my wife. She had no idea.
Couple of well-known names sitting on what I presume we can call the wait list. Down the bottom. Have you noticed any well-known names?
Yeah, I see Cassie Sweeten sitting right there. Who else are we looking at?
Robbie Reeves.
Why is that not one? Oh, no. Yeah, he better get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, he'll get it. He's all right. Yeah, Robbie Reeves.
Yeah.
I'm staying with him. We booked a place already, so.
Well, he better get in then, better
didn't
he?
Get in. Yeah,
that's
true.
Funny.
Yeah, he's right on that cusp. Interesting. Yeah, he's definitely not 23 up.
Tim Ware, Sam Stoyer, loads of Victorians. Anthony Pearsall, be one of the sponsors of the event, nearly, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
No sponsor exemptions.
No. Well, there was room for invites, so
yeah,
we shall see. But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be quite a few drop-offs. But I got up there. I'm one of the fastest right there. Look, I'm definitely in the top 15. Look at me go.
You've done well.
Look at me go. And then yeah, I immediately went to check amount of registered players, and it just was like, my website doesn't work anymore. So yep. And I was having a chat with Paul Arden, and he just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, very cool. I'm sure it'll be a great time, and yeah, I'll be there. I've pulled out of the other one, the crater something, Rumble in the Crater.
You were alluding to that being a possibility.
Yeah, well, I was. We'll get to it, but I was pretty shit in Ballarat, and just sometimes when you're pretty shit, you're just like, I real soon am about going to give up a whole weekend and do 10 hours worth of driving to be presumably still real shit. So not the only factor, but it was a strong one. It was I wouldn't say the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was like, I don't know, the lots of bricks that broke the camel's back.
Bricks being what your putts felt like.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think that's two events that I've tried to get to and now pulled out of. But I'll go to them. I'm going to the eruption no matter what. And there doesn't seem to be any negative effects of the format change, because I'm looking at all the people roughly that I've had my eye over who would normally play MPO or play an MPO, and all the people who would normally play MA1 are playing MA1. So it doesn't seem like anyone's made any changes with the fear of that day four cut. So yeah, will be interesting. To me, it's not going to matter, because if I get cut, then I'll just go large on that Saturday night and then just pester people.
Perfect. Currently 33 players signed up in MA1, 29 MPO, 28 MA2, 24 MA50. It's making a return. 23 at both MA40 and MA4, 22 in MA3, and then we get into single digits at MP40 and obviously a lot of their female divisions. One thing of interest, I'm just like clocking how small my ADG number is. Obviously, as we all know, I am an OG, and the ADG, the biggest ADG signed up for the event is so far is Jonathan Gray with ADG number 5,808. That's a monster. And there is only five ADG numbers that are smaller than mine signed up for the event. And they are the real OGs. So we got Paul Arden with an ADG of 8, Michael Cansey, 18, Cassie Sweden, 24, Dan Hartley, 49, and Chris Finn with their 50. And then it jumps up to numbers like yourself. It jumps up to Paddy Robinson and none other than Alan Brunsting sitting in the 200 bracket. But, yeah, there you go.
Big boy. I like it. Yeah, yep. 240, 270, 270 for mine.
Yeah.
Scraping into that first 300. I'll take that.
Done well.
5,000 odd, eh? So almost 6,000 now. That's starting to get into like PDJ numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild. I'm looking forward to when we have an ADG number that's higher than my PDJ number. That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be pretty old by then.
Yeah, correct.
it should be a lot of fun, but some disc golf that actually was played on the weekend and maybe wasn't so much fun was the Big Wet, or should we say the Big Windy?
Because Big Windy, yeah, that's true.
Very windy. Very, very windy, but I was still keen. A full lap of the yellows, which I don't get to play very often, and I love the yellows. So I was all G'd up for that. And then I was shit. It was real shit. And I was like, well, it's not going to get better on the blues. And it didn't. got exactly the same. So, cool. I think I played, plus. Fuck, what was it? Plus three, potentially.
Plus three, plus six.
Yeah, plus three on the yellows, which, you can go plus on the yellows. Wasn't aware.
I feel like wasn't I'm aware. Pretty sure it's your rule of thumb that you get minus five rocking up,
just
don't you?
Showing up. Yeah. But normally that minus five is like 920 odd rated, and yeah, minus five was like 6,000 rated. What's that?
Correct.
Interesting. But no, I was trash. Yeah, throwing bad, approaching horrendously, and missing half of my putts. So you don't really do much with that. So not ideal. How about yourself?
Look, I can relate to some of it, but not all of it, and I get away unscathed. But look, you say it was windy. It wasn't hectic though, was it? But I sometimes describe, it's funny, I wonder if it fits into that bracket of, it's actually almost more annoying when it's that windy opposed to it being hectic. So, because you step up to, say, a 30-meter approach in that wind and you just get a bit lazy. But when it's fucking wild, you're never lazy. You're so deliberate about making sure you hit bullseye, and you just get lazy and you fucking send it to 11 meters and you miss the putt. And it was that type of wind where you just like, we're just not quite on it. But yeah, my throws were clean. As I share some stats, like round one, I was 16 out of 18 greens in regulation.
Bang.
But yeah, just could not fucking buy a putt, and missed 14 putts in total. If I include my C2, 7 putts if I just include C1. And for those who know how I play along, I only count it as a C2 putt if it's an actual look. So that, and so anyway, yeah, 14 missed putts for my minus three. So throwing really clean, but just not good enough on the green. And then round two, pretty similar. I didn't miss as many putts, but probably only because I had less looks. So green in regulation was only 9 out of 18, and I still managed to miss 4 C1 putts and 4 C2 putts. But I made 1 C2 putt in round 2, which was nice. But get away with an event 12 above rating, which is just did not feel anywhere near my rating when you're like being that shit on the green. But I think I was just that good on the tee that it made up for it.
Yeah, yeah, you saw a lot of green, so that's really handy. Yeah. I didn't take stats, so that was weird because I always take stats, but I didn't, so we won't worry about mine. But one thing that you just said then, and it's sort of, I got to figure out how I actually want to play this. So you said it doesn't count to you as a C2 hit unless you got a look. Well, I lay up from C2 all the time, like crazy amounts of times. What should I be doing? Because I don't like the idea of not having, like, at least that, if I get to C2, then I'm like, that's C2 in regulation, good, you know, decent throwing, and that's how I like keep track of that. But if I'm like behind some tree or under or something, like, you know, just not a clean good part, or it's long, or I'll just lay it up. But then I got to count that as a missed putt if I want the C2 in regulation. That's a bit of a weird dance. So you just prioritize the actual putting stats then rather than the in regulation.
Well, no, like the way it's, I think it reframed the way I think about in regulation. Like green in regulation is good because it implies you've got to look. If you are green in regulation but behind a fuck off bush, you're not really green in regulation. That's not the golf green. Brody Smith would like, talk about it being like, we need to stop thinking about this as a 10 meter radius and a 20 meter radius. Like when we are designing a hole, there's a green and like, are you on the green or not? And that's, I guess, the way I think about it.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's smart. I should do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm not taking a putt, then I shouldn't count it as a C2 in reg. So
yeah, you're not making the green. Like, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, I definitely didn't take stats then. Yeah. my C2 percentage is going to get much better, but my C2 in regulation is going to get much worse. So that's good. All right. We'll see. We'll go through some of the results here. We had a couple in the FA4 division, and it was a smashing by Linda and Nalon. She killed it over Emily Ward. The MA4 one, we were pretty interested in that. I'm having a look at the thing now. I only see, what is that? This is round two. I see 4 green numbers for the whole round. So that's some good MA4 stuff right there. Not much more on the round one on the yellows either. But Wayne Govan takes it out quite comfortably in the end. Three strokes over Ash Brookers. So a couple of Throwlers team members right there, and soon to be Jason Vincent. We've taken that whole podium.
Yeah, perfect. That's right. Like, Throwlers should be taking the MA4 podium. That feels about right. But I hand up, I feel like we missed Wayno.
We definitely
when we were doing tips. Like, we obviously said, like, Brookers would be a chance, and he obviously played well at the league day. But I guess in my head, I probably still expected to see Wayne in MA2, if not MA3. He's done a bit of a sneaky here, and he's found himself on the MA4 sign-up list, and he's taken the chocolates, and he's just reminded me, and maybe reminded a few others, that, yeah, he can golf, and he wants to have a crack at a higher division, and maybe we'll find him back in MA2 soon.
Yeah, 50 points above his rating, his event average, so played great out there, Wayno, and he might have even called it. I think he sent us a little message saying, what do you reckon here about me getting this W? So he's called his own number, and he's delivered, so well done there, Wayne.
Yep, I loved it, and he's like, and can I take any, will I take any MA2 scalps? We'll get to MA2 in a second, but
we'll remember plus 14 then, yeah.
Yeah, plus 14, I think potentially took some scalps.
Oh, I'm sure. Did he might have scalped me. and in the FA3, it was a reasonably tight battle. Both some pretty good scores by both these girls. But Megan Joy comes out on top over Michaela Cooper. What about the MA3? Not the biggest division at this event.
No, just the 8 chilling. But your man, you've backed him in.
Wins
and obviously Throller's man himself, Carlton Clerk, storms it. Also 50 above rating. So there's a bit of a pattern going on there with a 903 event. An even round two, 950 rated round two.
It's great.
Even on the Blues.
It's great.
Huge.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. Yeah, even on the Blues is elite. Like, even on the Blues is, you don't play MA3 anymore. That's what even on the Blues is.
And you know what we love about MA3?
Yeah.
A good chase card victory.
Yeah, is that where he came from?
Yeah. That was chase card.
Oh, of course he did, yeah, because it was plus. Yeah, no shit. There we go. Bang.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so good.
The wind died down a little for round two, I think. So maybe just that's all he needed was a bit of a calm at eight. But, yeah, four birdies on the Blues, a double on five, which is not ideal. But, four birdies on the Blues is living.
It is.
MA2, it was Tommy Jankar, just not even close. Six strokes over both Peter Chu and Dan Frawley. Peter Chu looking hot early, but just went to shit in round two pretty much. Even on the Blues for Tommy Jankar. So that's what we need our man Carlton to be dicking around with, I think, is he might be time to start looking at that MA2 section. He would have found himself in second.
Johnny Martin went neg one on the yellows and then just followed that up with a plus nine on the Blues. So not great there for Johnny. I got to play with Tommy round one and pretty light on with his plus one. A couple of bad holes right in the middle on 11 and 12. Two double bogeys in a row really took the wind out of his sails. But it was weird because he was on my card. It felt like he had the box like every hole. And then we got about 14 holes in and I checked the scores and I was beating him by three strokes and I was so confused. I was like, I feel like you're smashing me. Like I was checking to see whether or not I was about to have to sacrifice my tag. and I was like, I had him by three strokes. I was like, what is going on here? But yeah, I guess I just blanked out those two really bad holes he had.
Well, I played with Duncan McIntosh in round one, and I've never seen anyone play worse disc golf. Like, it was crazy. Like, I didn't even know what he was doing. Just throwing straight into the ground, just 15 meters ahead of him. Like, wild stuff. And he did not lose. Somehow, Kyle Herbertson shoots a plus 21 in round two and is comfortably last place, even though Duncan put up one of the worst rounds I've ever seen. 757 rated by Kyle for round two. That's living. I don't know what's going on there, but he got a birdie in there as well.
Not great.
Not great. So that's a big one. I guess we have to check in on my thrallers guarantee, because that was part of this. I had the chump off between Picanti and Duncan. You gave me six both ways because, good luck picking them. And, I was like, well, Picanti did better in the social days, so Duncan will win the thing. Nah, it was horrendous. I had to watch it unfold. He put together a great round two, but like when he told me he shot a plus five in round two, I was like, oh, maybe we're a chance here. He beat Picanti by five strokes, but he lost to like 14 strokes in the first round. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot it was that bad.
Yep.
So no points for me. That was wild. Should have backed Picanti. My bad, mate. He wasn't very happy, old Aaron.
Yeah.
But he gets a last laugh.
You missed one there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MA50. Yeah.
Yeah. We obviously is the matchup we wanted to see, and round one lived up to it. It was tight at the top. Carey and Glenn sitting on even, with Richard just one back. So ring-a-ding-ding going into round two. But then Carey just pulled away. Probably to be expected, I guess, maybe, going into that longer course. I've not actually had the pleasure of playing with Richard. Maybe he has some length, I don't know. But Carey, bit of a local as well. I did hear him... boasting a little bit pre-tournament. This is the sort of weather I've been looking for at the big wet. Pretty comfortable in his own backyard. And, got it done by five strokes.
Yep, too good in the end. MA40, sick battle. Here. We had Huss on the show last week, and we had her as the favorite. And I said, who's going to come second? And she goes Taz. And it looked like Lee was going to... maybe surprise them all in the end, because he was feeling good. I played on his card, and a few good birdies. A few good birdies late, and just a bit of course management had him right in the mix. But round two, no chance there. His body's just way too cooked still. But really good rounds from both Huss and Taz. And imagine that, it sees them once again tied and heading to a playoff.
Just like at Olinda.
So they love a little bit of a playoff action. And it didn't go past the first hole. So we hear. We got a little bit of a recap from Alex. And he said that they both end up hitting a tree pretty early, I think. Her drive hit the second of the big trees in the middle of the channel. Kicked left. Taryn's shot hit the first of the trees in the middle and also kicked left. So they were both with awkward upshots. Taz approached... faded a little, left in with about an 8 meter putt. Huss landed hers inside the bullseye. Taryn caught a few chains left, but not enough to hold on. And Huss taps in for her first MA40 win. So well done there, Huss. And we knew it. We knew it.
Of course we did. Of course we did. But how exciting! How exciting! Another great event by Huss. First MA 40 victory, and above 900 rated event again. Huge, just absolutely huge. I think that's such a good victory, and obviously we're so stoked that, like, obviously the process that she goes through to pick which division, the fact that she goes to look for a division with actual competitors, and then not only does she find that division, then to take it down, there's so much to like about that. I love it.
Yep, super super cool. And Taryn is going to have to wait for victory number 20 at least one more tournament. But he's so close. He must have been tasting it.
Yeah.
FA1 was a solo performance by Kim Michelle. She out there with a plus 25, which was above her rating. So well done. Shot an 820 event. Good stuff out there for Kim.
Yeah, good work. We didn't see this coming in MA1, did we?
No, Penn doesn't win every time he plays.
No. But pretty slow start round one, wasn't it? Andrew Young-Jackaway gets out of the box with the neg 2, 940 round. Liam O'Brien, I'm less familiar with the neg 1. And they're the only two players in the entire division to go under the card on yellows at Vic Park. It's just unheard of.
Crazy. Like, I was playing so trash, and I was just right there the whole time. It wasn't for like a late double bogey, which was the only time my only really wind affected like a full-on wind blowout, and then blew, like rolled my disc to like 12 meters away. But up until then, I was still like in the hunt, even though I was trashed. I just couldn't believe it. But I was having a chat with Liam before the round, and he's down with it on a trip with his family, and they've just been like driving with kids, and he's like, I am wrecked. And then he comes out in second place ahead of Penn. I was like, okay, all right, mate. No worries with your wrecked. and then held off pretty good. He ended up getting second. Andrew Young-Jackaway had the tournament on his shoulders at one stage, and then hole 13, bogey, 14, bogey, and then 15 with the double. Like, I saw him and Penn, like, that's, they'd caught up to us by then. Him and Penn both not with great drives. Penn put his close. Andrew put his to, like, 8. That's the one where you're putting at, like, hole 4's basket. Yeah, he just shot it, like, must have barely stayed in bounds and then missed the comebacker. And that pretty much did it. And then Penn just goes on to birdie 17, 18 just for good fun, I guess.
Good measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to point out as well. So, well done, Penn. Another victory. Where'd you finish up, Alan?
Did I play? Oh, yeah, okay. No, yeah, I was in 7th. So, no good. Up one, though, on the Blues.
Yeah, correct.
Caught Penny to bird. He was having a rough one. If it's ever cold or windy, just don't even... Like, he reckons he's just not playing next winter. He's gonna play until the Vic Open, and he's going to pull up stumps until eruption.
I'm yet to see. I know he's a 940 rated disc golfer. I've yet to see him play 900 rated golf. I got to play with him round one. Admittedly, he shot 905 round one, but those ratings could not be more generous if they tried round one. I'm just like, until I see it in the flesh, I just he's an 890 golfer in my mind.
There you go. shot the same round as Kalen round two. That can't feel good for him.
No.
And Don, I don't know, man. Don scares the shit out of me. I realized that his putt is the same as, what's her name? Kona. They both have this like throw spin putt. And I just, it scares me. Like, I can't watch it. I can't watch
There's nothing to like about that. It's nothing to like about that.
Scares me so
much.
Did
I hear a rumor that he was turboing towards the end of round one?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't play with him at all. I just sort of saw stuff out of the corner of my eye, and I see a lot of these big numbers, and typically that's what happens. With Don, it's just the 7 putts or whatever. But anyway. In MP40, solo man, Josh Smith. So he takes it out with not a great event. 899 rated event. Plus 8.
let's check in here on the on my guarantee though. So just to circle back to MA40 for a second, we had Huss and Taron finish tied on plus 7.
Yeah, they did.
And obviously I backed in my boy Joshy Smith to get it done over MA40. We started on like hole 2. Round two, and he was looking good through the front nine, just not too much damage, stringing some pars together, birdie there on 11, bogey there on 12, not great. Then he goes on to bogey 15 and 16, and there's some hard holes out there, but the par on 13, huge, par on 14, good work, but then to bogey 15 and 16, that really took the wind out of my sails. And then he was unable to birdie one or anything to save my bacon. And I also come up short on the guarantee.
After such a strong start, we're crumbling.
Yeah.
We're crumbling.
Yeah, we got cocky.
We forgot to check in on if Wayne took any scalps. Plus 13 or something. He would end up in 6th.
Plus 14.
Good. Plus 14. All right. Yeah. Or he would end up in 7th, just ahead of McCarthy. So not bad.
Yeah. That's good. Remember, we'd been keeping an eagle eye on whether or not he would take any scalps in MA2. And his tally was at 0. so adding 6 to that tally is pretty significant.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the big dogs in the MPO, what unfolded there?
I tipped this.
I feel like you might have. Like, you asked for a number of Paddy not to win.
Yeah.
I feel like I gave you a decent one and you didn't want it.
Yeah.
You met with Josh Smith instead.
Yeah, but you were like, you made it the Paddy show and you were like, you don't agree? I'm like, I think it's Timmy's turn.
Yeah.
I think it's Timmy's turn. And sure enough, ring-a-ding-ding. I got to, were you there towards, did you get to watch them play hole 18?
No, I was parked towards the other side and I was like, why would I drive back over there when I could just drive home? And it started, in my defense, it had started raining a bit and I was like, nah, it's all good. There's a KFC down the road.
so they were all tied. It was a three-way tie going into hole 18. And I got to finish on hole one, so I was right there. Ryan Michel had the box because he just birdied 17. So it was a tie just between Timmy and Paddy. But then Ryan Michel got 17. Neither Timmy or Paddy got it, so that's a miss. And then Ryan threw a shot that he was not happy with off the tee. Threw his hands up in the air. One of those ones that I think was a bit high. Snuck his way through to 4 meters. On hole 18.
Oh, shit.
Paddy Robinson got through clean, got through to, let's say, 12 meters. And Timmy threw clean. I think he might have got a bit greasy down the right-hand side as well, to be honest. Finished pin high right at about 11 meters. Unless he maybe sidearmed out. I couldn't tell for exactly from where I stood. Anyway, so Paddy first to act. Miss putt. Then Timmy from circle two, cash.
Bang.
And then Michelle, nerves of steel, cash as well, his short putt. They go to a playoff. Timmy puts it 3 meters long. Ryan leaves it 20 meters short, has to run it, of course. Runs it. It's still just next to act. Cashes, so forces Timmy to have to hit his putt, and Timmy does hit his putt and takes the victory in the playoff.
Big.
Yep.
Now that's cool. I like that. A lot of birdies on round two for Tim. Was that 2, 4, 6, 8, 10? 10 birdies on the blues. Mate, that's all right. So he's probably sure ran away with it, but gets it done in the end. So really, really cool. Yeah, I feel like it's been a little minute since Timmy's had a win. So I'm sure we'll have a tee off episode real soon, so he can talk all about it.
No doubt. His last victory, according to PDGA, was the Hamilton Kickstarter PowerPoint launch disc golf, back in on the 4th of January, and has been a hot minute.
And he just beat Ryan Nicholson or something, probably.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Nah, there was a couple of players there. But, yeah, still, first victory since January.
Fair enough. Nah, cool. Exciting. All right. Speaking of exciting, I was meant to redo this, but I didn't. So we're going to roll with the same intro as last week. We got some airing of grievances.
The airing of grievances.
Yes.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
I'll work on that. But, yeah, the airing grievances, big hit last week. Duncan kicked it off really good.
Big shoes to fill.
I'll start with, I got one sent in by Doug Adams. I'll give that a play.
Hey, Alan, I'd like to air a grievance. I'm in Canberra playing the Gold Creek School disc golf course, and I think it's hole 14 or 15, and there's a swale, which is like a gully. And the tee sign says, if I'm right of the swale, I'm OB. So I stayed left of the swale all the way down this stupid hole, and the basket's on the right of the swale. So is the basket OB? I'm sending out a grievance to Rad because their tee signs are less than satisfactory. Thanks.
Come on, Rad.
Have you ever heard the word swale before?
Never, never ever. Like, I'm so glad never. he said that's a gully. Because if he was like, there was this swale, I'm like, sure, man.
Is that a bird?
Yeah.
Is that a bird?
Exactly. yeah, so there you go. Rad, just no good signage or just putting baskets in out of bounds. I don't know. We still don't know.
We don't know.
We still don't know. And we do have a second one. And this one probably wasn't going to happen. So obviously Duncan started off pretty good last week with some shots at Picanti. And I told him that we are not in the business of being fair and that I will not reach out for a reply because
good.
I don't think he deserves one. That Duncan got in and he had his whack and you cop it. Anyway, unsolicited, he just sent me, Picanti sent me a voice message and I liked it. So I think we're going to end up going with it. Sorry, Dunk. I did tell him I was going to tell Picanti to fuck off, but we're going to let him have his peace.
Perfect.
Grievances? Yeah, I got a few. Duncan, as dishonest, deceitful, and insincere as he is, purposefully omitted certain information about what happened last week. Hole 13 on Blues. The one where it's a long drive out into an open field. There's a tree about 40 metres slightly to the left. You try to drive past that, and then on the second shot, there's a bunch of trees on the left. You've got to beat that the basket is behind that. Well, we all landed in those trees on the left. I barely clipped the branches on the left, and the disc just fell straight down into complete jail. After the others all failed at their shots, I brought up the fact that I could just move my lie back without taking a penalty and just jump putt over the top. And they actually laughed and berated me, laughed me out of town. Duncan even called me a moron. I had a chuckle because I'm an absolute prick. And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in the rules. I'm pretty sure I can take a penalty and move this back. And they turned around and said, you can't just make up rules on the spot. And then, after a small discussion, Duncan says to me, mate, this has taken way more than 30 seconds. So, yeah, that's your Duncan, ladies and gentlemen. Now, was Duncan correct? No. Did I throw right out of the jail and land directly under the basket? Also, no. I threw it straight into the ground like a normal person. Duncan, I've actually got a little bit of advice for you. It's better to keep your mouth shut and have everyone think you're an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Let me tell you, I know he's absolutely spewing that I was right and he was wrong. He's been doing everything he can to deflect away from that point. Why? I hear nobody ask. Because Duncan is dishonest, deceitful, and insincere. That's one of my grievances. Next, Al, I've actually got a grievance with you. Can you run me through your final hole at Bald Hill at the recent social day? Because we're from where I was, watching like a creep in the bushes, you disastrously turned over a disc, went OB over the path, threw your upshot long, missed the putt, and tapped in for what I believe is a 5. And the scorecard says a 4. So I wanted to just find out exactly what happened there, because you only beat me by one shot. Also, how did your throwers guarantee go? You chose Duncan to beat me at Big Wet, right?
So it had alliteration, it had passion, and it had a clip at me. So these are all things we like. If your grievance is with either Chris or myself, it'll probably make the pod.
Look, no, we can't. Let's not skirt over this Bald Hill issue, because that's months ago. That league day that he's alluding to is months ago.
I do not know what he's talking about.
good. Convenient, Alan, because he has been messaging me nonstop. He's like, Chris, he's like, you've missed about 14 pods in a row, mate, to bring up the Bald Hill hole.
What hole was it?
I think it's hole 4. Like over the trees.
Yeah.
And so like the path's like, if I'm thinking about the right hole, which I think I am.
Oh.
The path's like miles off to the right, right?
Yeah.
Like, hard to imagine ever going OB, but he's suggesting. So it is OB?
I probably did then. Maybe I didn't know that was out of bounds. I know I shanked the shit out of one. I can't remember if it went over the path or not. And maybe it did. And maybe I just didn't play it as out of bounds. I might have cheated. That's a very real possibility. I do not remember. I do remember shanking it bad. What was the long version? I think I tried to throw like the big hyzer. And I didn't. So if it were, it probably, I don't remember the details, but if it did go over the path, and the path is out of bounds, then yeah, I cheated.
Good. We finally got to the bottom of that. I can't even visualize I think we are talking about the right hole now.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a bad throw. I can't even visualize where the path is. Like, I'm like, I could never imagine being over that hole.
Because if you're trying to throw, like, not the forehand, you take the big hyzer.
Yeah.
Let's say you did that with, like, something dumb like a trail. see where I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. I could see you'd end up over near the dog park.
Yeah, you can get there pretty quick. I don't know. I just maybe I'll put in a five, and I just couldn't possibly ever lose to Picanti. So it, like, the metrics was like, no. That must have been a four. I don't know. I don't remember. I probably just played it like it wasn't out of bounds. That's a real possibility.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. That was a big factor on including it, because he gave me just a display on what I thought was out of nowhere, because I was like, I don't even remember what the social day was.
It was so long ago.
Well, these are good. Keep them coming. If you've got any grievances against some rad signage or whatever, just send them our way and get them out there.
Yep.
All right, we'll have a look a bit at the Pro Tour that just went off in Europe, the Festival of Disc Golf, because it was pretty electric.
It was so electric.
We watched a bunch of the FPO. I upgraded to the top tier so that I could watch the Jomez stuff and the final round FPO, and do not regret it. It was really good. You were sitting at home twiddling your thumbs, and I got to see Kristen with the worst putting performance I've ever seen.
Crazy. It was wild.
So you still haven't checked any of the coverage or anything yet?
Well, there's no... Jomez still hasn't dropped.
Yeah, it's all on... You got to watch it on Disc Golf Network.
Yeah.
But you have to have the big boy one.
You got to pay the big boy, yeah.
Well, basically what happened, like, Kristen had an inassailable lead because she was already ahead, and then Silva just took six pars in a row to start. And that wasn't going to get it done. Everyone else was just too far behind, basically. And then all of a sudden on hole 11, like, out of nowhere, like, Kristen's been playing just fine, nothing special. Only three down through 10, but, yeah, comfortably in the lead, not really doing anything wrong. And then hole 11, she just missed from bullseye. Like bullseye's edge, which I never heard of the term until I saw Evelina on coverage, and then apparently that's a real term. But bullseye's edge, she just airballed and then missed the comebacker from like five and tapped in a double. And then hole 12, like very next hole, lays up from inside the circle.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're only like two strokes ahead at this stage. Like, don't, like, because Silva birdied 11. So she's got three, she was five back, and then now all of a sudden it's only two. And then she's laid up on 12, I was like, you can't do that. You're not that far enough ahead. Anyway, bullseye is 13, bullseye is 14, and then 15 just puts it to not bullseye. So she missed. And then 17, she just wasn't putting at all by then. I think she might have laid up 16, I can't remember. 17, she had to run it by now because Silva had gotten 16 and was in really good position on 17. So she had to go for it and, blew it. Put it to, she went from C2 to like 5 meters, and then 5 meters is too far, so she missed it. It was crazy. Silva gets a birdie on that, and then a par was more than all she needed on 18. And job done. Big, big win.
Yeah.
But Kristen just threw it away. I've never seen anything quite like it. It was wild.
In that stretch, she missed five putts of less than 5 meters.
It was fucked up, man. It was really crazy.
That is so bad.
And Silva hit everything. Silva hit everything. It was just like the more Kristen couldn't putt, the more Silva couldn't miss. It was wild. It was real wild to see. But huge major victory for Silva Saarinen. That's the real deal. And nervous now. I'm nervous for Kristen. Like, what? She going to shake that shit? For Worlds?
Yeah. So Reddit threw a theory out there that I'm going to air is obviously we're familiar with, particularly in the female division, players potentially struggling with a lot of putting. Obviously, Hannah Blomroos and Evelina Stalinen have obviously had their stuff well and truly seen by the public. But the thing that popped up on Reddit was Kristen's has a weird correlation with betting. Now existing on the scene. That not to suggest any shenanigans. That's not what the Reddit thread was suggesting. It was suggesting that, like, is it now like a mental thing? Like, oh, people are now betting on me to win. And that has that maybe played a role? Because if you see the way that agency is working, they're just putting lines up, and Kristen's line at every event is always 1.5. So essentially, you get to just say, is she going to win or is the field going to win? That's your line. I don't know. That was the provocation on Reddit.
This would surprise me because she was five strokes ahead when she just stopped putting. Yeah. And she had no issues putting before that, up at the first 10 holes. It was just all of a sudden hole 11. So, I don't know. That would surprise me if all of a sudden the mental thing kicked in. But, I guess one to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
The MPO was even spicier. Like, that was spicy, electric. But it was, like, let down spicy. This was just wild. I just caught up on the Jomez earlier today, and it was sick. So much green. Like, there's just so much green all over all their scorecards. You had to go super low. Coming into the finals, we had Gannon and Isaac tied with Calvin one behind and Paul four behind, which may as well have been 15 behind, essentially. Like, mm-hmm. It just, the way that course is playing, Paul with a neg 16 to get into that position, just he needed to do that again to force a playoff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was, it was pretty much a three horse race. And I'm not sure if you saw, but like Gannon just missed like two from 8 meters in a row, like 4 and 5. He got the first three and then missed two putts in a row and then just sort of shook it off. Took a bogey on 9 that was a bit unexpected, then just went on a tear. Isaac, he was wild. Hole 7, that's that par 4. With a straight shot and then your dog leg over to the island. He threw an incredible shot, like just way low. He was the last one to go and he was so far that he just had like a simple hyzer in and just threw it trash, like threw it high into the trees and dropped out of bounds and then just choked on hole 8 and that was him done. So now it's just a two-horse race. Gannon got his putt back, got back all the strokes that Calvin had got when he birdied and Gannon bogeyed. And, it came down to the last couple of holes. Calvin's up 1. He's got hole 17. Gannon had like a C2 putt and missed it. So Calvin's got like a 8-meter putt to essentially win it. And he just doinked it. Little to the right, drops out. Inexplicably. Hadn't missed a putt all day, it felt like. Hole 18.
That was his only C1 miss.
Fuck, crazy.
Yeah.
Hole 18, he goes 3rd, but ahead of Gannon, and he puts it to like 13 meters, 14 maybe. And Gannon's in the circle. He's at like 7 or 8. And that's where he, like, since that 4 or 5, it felt like he put every single putt to like 8, 9, 10 meters. And he's just been hitting them all. And Calvin clutched up and just goes fucking whack from 14 and elation. You would have seen the video of him losing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a man who's almost won 15 majors.
Yeah, exactly. But just the setting, man. Like, the way they play towards the stadium there, the build-up to him having to go 50 under to win the event inside 4 rounds.
Crazy.
To just cash it from 13 after just doinking that 7-meter putt. What's not to love about this game at the moment?
Yeah, it's sick. It's real cool. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. When it comes up on Jomez finally, you'll have to check it out.
When this Bubs arrives, I've taken 4 weeks leave anyway, and so I'm kind of probably just waiting to pull the trigger on that pro payment anyway, because yeah, nice. I'll be stuck at home at all hours of the night, probably watching disc golf with a baby. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that for sure.
No, really, really cool. Our tip, Nicholas Antala, was sort of always just a little bit out of it, but finished in sixth, not too bad. AB was charging home, but just a few out of bounds. He threw some fucked up shots. It was crazy, man. They kept doing the chase card check-in. Like, that dude throws so far. But yeah, no, that was cool. That was the spicy part of it, and did not disappoint. So I'm really looking forward to Worlds, which kicks off in like a week, right?
Tell you what, you gave me grief not that long ago about keeping Paul McBeth up my sleeve.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I'm feeling pretty good about having Paul McBeth up my sleeve.
Yeah, I'm feeling not too bad about Mike Gannon Burr up my sleeve as well. But but yeah, Paul would be good. No, he played great.
Yeah.
So, that'd be cool.
Let's go. By the time, if we go to air together next week, who knows what that looks like. But it might be... Would the FBO be playing in a week's time? Am I getting the dates right?
I think they might be. Yeah, I think it's meant to be kicking off on a Wednesday.
Yeah, 5-day tournament.
Oh, well, it might even be earlier than that then.
No, yeah. I think it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Wednesday through to Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's in Europe, so yeah.
Sick. Can't wait.
Yep.
All right, we had a chat. We are going to have a chat, I should say, with Oscar. He's over in
Europe,
so it's the timing's actually working out really well. We've got him on standby. He's how would you describe his trip?
It's nearly 3 p.m. there. Yeah, we're on here
like a whirlwind. he's on a sick trip, so
yeah,
we're gonna ask him a little
Italy?
Bit.
I feel like he started in Italy or south of France.
Yeah, he definitely
south
was in France.
South of France. Yeah, yeah, it might have been France. Yeah,
so anyway, I'll just bring him in. Oscar D. Thanks, Oscar, for joining us. You're on an incredible European adventure and just finished watching the European Disc Golf Festival. What brought this trip on, and how did you end up in Estonia for the festival?
Yeah, hello, Alan and Chris. Thanks for having me on the show. Tear from Estonia. I'm actually in Helsinki right now, but we have been in Estonia for the last sort of week or so. Yeah, watching the European Disc Golf Festival, and it's been pretty awesome. Why did we end up there? That's a good question. We're in Helsinki now visiting one of Rosie's friends, and then before that, we were in France doing a French immersion, and... You know, we were planning to come over here for July, and we sort of looked up what disc golf tournaments were around at that time, and there was the disc golf festival in Estonia, and that sounded pretty unique and exciting. So yeah, we just booked it in, and super happy we did, because it was fantastic actually.
Yeah, that is so sick. We're not jealous at all. Lots of cool things. What's been your favorite moment?
Ooh, favorite moment. Man, there's two front of mine that are competing earlier on in the tournament. I think it was day two, watching Simon ace hole 8. We saw their group finish up on the green of hole 7, and you can quickly get to the tee of 8 from there, and we sort of zipped around and found a really good viewing spot to watch down the tunnel. And Simon just has been playing pretty poorly earlier on in the holes, and he just had that look about him that he was going to run chain. So, yeah, we were hyper-vigilant, getting a good spot, and, yeah, the throw was perfect, and yeah, the reaction from the crowd was awesome. So that ace was great, but probably Calvin's putt and the reaction to win the whole damn thing was incredible. Had no idea if he was going to make it or what he was feeling, but the reaction from him when he did make it and the putt was just so perfect. It was super cool. So those two.
Yeah, that's so dope. Man, that's so jealous. Like, I was getting G'd up just watching him here, so that's cool. I've seen that you've met and watched a bunch of the top pros, so has there been any standouts?
Yeah, who's been a stand-up? I'd say, like, yeah, pretty much everyone has been super cool, all super approachable. I think it really depends on how you catch them and, like, when. A lot of the time, the easiest time to catch them has been, like, after the rounds, and they always seem pretty, like, exhausted and, you know, there's a big line, so they got to talk to a lot of people, so you only get a quick interaction with each player then. But the players that sort of hung around afterwards that were really cool were, like, Own, Big Germ, Adam Hammers. He didn't make the cut, so I think on the last day he was just pretty keen to hang out with people, and that was nice. Anthony Barella. And, yeah, they were all super cool.
Yeah, unreal. The festival looks like it's obviously on another level. What's something that stood out to you about the event, about the caliber of the event?
Oh, man, actually just, like, everything about the event is just so elite. So many people volunteering and so much work that goes into it. There's so much, like, technical, like, camera and audio equipment everywhere, like, for the broadcast and, yeah, everything. And, like, even the food trucks were great. All the, like, player stalls were pretty good. So, yeah, just kind of, it kind of blew my mind and was slightly inspiring to see, like, a country like Estonia put on such a massive event just for disc golf. And, yeah, it's overwhelming to think about how that could happen in Australia, but, yeah, inspiring at the same time.
That's sick. You're a pretty handy disc golfer. What do you think you would shoot around at that course, and how disgusting was the -16?
I was thinking if I was going to play the course, I'd want to play the FBO tees. And I was thinking if I'd shoot around even off of those tees, I'd be doing well. So I don't even know off the MPO tees. I reckon 10 over. Like, they looked a lot harder. Yeah, tough course. Just the OB and the length, keeping it inbounds, would do me in, I reckon.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, that -16 is just so low. Anyway, how have you managed to find someone as amazing as Rosie, who's not only willing to travel the world with you, but travel to Estonia to watch 4 days of disc golf? Just to give this question a bit more context, I can't get Allah to go down the road to Stony Creek to watch me play disc golf. How have you pulled this off?
yeah, look. Rosie's pretty special. How on earth did she get into disc golf? I'm not quite sure. Big bookworm, but now also a big disc golf nerd. So, yeah, super cool. She doesn't play too much, but we watch, like, a lot of Jomez coverage together and sort of nerd out about following the players and that kind of thing. So we're both pretty keen to meet them all and get their signatures and yeah, follow them and play and just watch them and see their personality on the course and how they play. Yeah, it was really cool. And yeah, really special to share that with Rosie. Yeah, it was really nice.
Sick. Love that. Thanks for joining us, mate. We love seeing you repping the Throllers and the Melbourne Disc Golf shirts, which was sick. One thing before you go, once you're done with a round of disc golf, who's that first name you check on the leaderboard to see if you have beaten them?
Ooh, yeah. Who do I look for? Look, honestly, probably just any and all of the disc golf shit talking guys, if they're there. Probably mostly Chris and Daz, because beating them, yeah, feels pretty good. Alan, not so much. Jacob, meh. And yeah, the other guys aren't even there. So yeah, probably those people.
Fair. Very, very fair. That's
it. Good. I love that.
I also just wanted to say, played some disc golf today, two rounds of disc golf, two different courses with Yuha, who was a Melbourne club member for a few, like a year or so, and he's now living back in Helsinki. And yeah, it was really good to catch up with him and play some fantastic courses over here. I just wanted to give that a little shout out. Thanks for having me on the show, boys. See ya when I'm back.
Beauty. Cheers, Oscar. Oh, Juha, that's cool. You got to catch
that
up
is good.
With Juha. That's a random little pull that he's had.
A good little tidbit. That I like that right there at the end. Thanks for sharing, Oscar. Oi, that reminded me, your final question. I love it. I love it as a final question. And I forgot to say this a couple of minutes ago. The Penn versus Chris Ronalds battle.
Yeah.
Chalk another one up to Chris Ronalds.
he's your bunny, mate. Just your bunny. That's good. Is that your first name that you look for? That is
him. Oh, 100%. Well, and do you know what nearly happened? And not to throw shade at Budgie here, but this would have been outrageous. The MPO field nearly all beat MA1, which I think is got to be extremely rare. So only Budgie, obviously it's only Budgie in the MPO field that did not surpass everyone else in the event. So that was pretty cool statistic, I thought.
Yeah, that is cool, actually. Yeah, MA1 was not good this weekend. I don't really know what was going on, but that was odd.
Yeah.
All right. Big pod, but we'll do some dollars guaranteed before we head out. We've got Llewellyn coming up, and there are plenty of players to choose from. Big field. Llewellyn's always a bit of fun. Is there anyone you have your eye on in particular?
Yes, I do. I would love a Paul Arden top half, bottom half metrics handicap. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'm always happy to go 5-5 for that. So whichever way you want.
I would love a Paul Arden top half.
Paul Arden top half. I like it. 8-8-9. Yeah, it's a bit low for metric rating for him. So, I can mess with that. That's cool.
It was either going to be that or Ville bottom half. Because I just, with his 990, basically, I just can't ever see him get in the top half.
Stuff. It's got to be so low. Yeah, what do you think about Ville top half, bottom half?
Yeah, I'll honour the 5-5. But if you go top half, I think you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. interesting. I might look at that. Or what do I want to do? Something with Mikey Hare. No, I might take that one. I'll take the Ville bottom half. Because what did he shoot last? He barely made it. He shot a billion, the other one.
No, he shot a billion and he went bottom half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, your money is safe, I believe, there, sir.
Oh, I'll take that. You got Paul top half, I got Ville bottom half.
Yep,
sounds good. All right, that was a quick one.
Let's get back on the winningest list.
Sounds good. All right, Spotlight Nightlight to finish.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I just posted it on socials. My spotlight is Budgie, who I just obviously gave a little shit to, but Budgie birdie from 6 meters on hole 16 on the Blues at Bald Hill. Disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting.
That's gross.
Yeah. So gross. And it was so pure. Like, it was never in doubt. Like, out of the hand. And, like, the lead card had caught up to us on the tee of 16. And, like, out of their hand, we're like, that's going to be parked. That's going to be parked. And it wasn't quite parked. It was 6 meters. And then for him to just knock it in, I've not seen that hole played that well in my life. Absolute easiest spotlight ever. Spotlights!
Yeah, that's super gross. I don't particularly like that. no, it's great. My spotlight, honorable mention, has to go to Oscar. Like, just dope trip, repping the Throllers gear for us, getting the Matty O, the audio and video of him giving us a sweet shout out. So that's cool. Another honorable mention has to go to Doug, just because I'm just jealous of the life he's living. So I was like, what are you doing in Canberra? Are you there for the drizzler? And he said that was the plan, but the weather looks shit, so he just came up early and for fun. And then he's just going to come home on Friday. I'm like, well, that's sick. He goes, 6 courses in 2 days is the plan, and he's halfway through. And so he's just driven to Canberra to play 6 courses in 2 days because he can. So I think that's really sick. It deserves a an honorable mention at least. But the main spotlight has to go to Johnny Martin for his work, his putting work, round one of, what did we just play? The Big Wet. So you mentioned his neg one performance, but that came with a 10 out of 11 C1X putting. And that was definitely the windiest performance. No one else was putting up those kind of numbers. I was running at 50%. You were not much better. Tim Bohan missed like 8 of them. Wild times. But 10 out of 11 is amazing. So well done there, Johnny. You get my spotlight. Spotlights!
Yeah, good one. Good one.
Not lights for you?
Evelina Ronald's putting.
There you go.
Evelina Ronald's putting. It's a very uncharted territories for myself. But I'm like, we're all missing C1 putts. Obviously, we're talking about that. But I'm missing bullseye's edge C1 putts. And it's happened now a couple of events in a row. I've chalked at least one, if not two of those up. And that just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And probably going to do nothing about it. But just put it out there as a not light.
Yeah, fair enough. There you go. mine has to go to Reece Circuit. So big fan of his TD of the year. Another great event on the weekend. Nothing to do with the event in particular. More to do with the MP40 division. So the MP40 division... Josh Smith takes home $36, so I don't know, 50 odd bucks. So a good whack of his money back. And got himself a giant fucking horn and probably a bottle of mead. I didn't stick around for presentations, but did he roll away with a bottle of mead?
I didn't stick around.
Okay, so he's rolled up in a division of his own. He could have played any other division like Huss did. And... you just, I don't even fault him. Like, why wouldn't you? If you want to be a dick and get most of your money back and some great prizes, good on you. Exploit the system. That's why I think the not light has to go to Reece. You can't be allowing that. Not much you can do about the money side of it. Cool. Take out the fees, give him back his thing, and then you get a handshake. You give him a high five, and that's it. I don't want to see the horn. He got a giant horn.
Yeah.
It's much bigger than the other horns. He shot like 900 golf. I'm not here for it. So that might not like us a race for just paying out too high on this one person division.
Ah, cool. Well spotted. Yeah, fair enough. I bigged him up just last week. So he was pegging back down.
sweet. Was that it? Did I miss yours or not?
Yeah, mine was Evelina Ronald's putting.
Oh, yeah, true. That's good. All right. Time to pack it in then. I think thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.